Well, look out your window. Look out your window.
Is it raining frogs?
You're going to see it. You're going to see a pig fly. You're going to see hell if you're there, frozen, people wearing jackets. It's a morning, by the way, 602, time to help fund scholarships for U.S. veterans. Donate to the Help a Hero program at Sport Clips near you. It's a morning many, many thought they would never, ever, ever see. The Chicago Cubs are the world champions. Are you kidding me? It happened, guys.
It was a great game.
It was an amazing game. It was an amazing game. It was an amazing series.
I'm still kind of speechless over the whole, the way the whole thing went down. I mean, first off, let's go back to the Rajay Davis home run, because this is a guy that has spent significant amounts of time with both the A's and the Giants. Bay Area fans are very familiar with him. And I think just about everyone from this area watching that game kind of had a chuckle to themselves and was like, really, really, Cleveland's counting on Rajay Davis?
And Rajay Davis came through in the clutch.
After he pulled a typical Rajay Davis move early in the game and completely whiffed on a fly ball, didn't have a clue where it was going, and ended up spotting the Cubs a couple runs as a result.
Hey, there, Matt. Is my computer up here? I want to play the Rajay Davis home run here if I can.
Oh,
that's awesome. That's the Korean call of Rajay Davis' home run. One of the things that's so great, just this exclamation. It's no secret. I think I am, and many others are a fan. When you hear the foreign language calls, they're always so foreign. You know, you're not used to hearing that, and then they're so exciting. And we have a number of foreign calls from last night, which I expect we'll play just as much as the English calls. Nate, it was amazing because you had this back and forth. You had the Cubs had it put away, and I thought it was funny. I turned to my wife. I said, you know, at one point, you know, Cleveland beat the Warriors when the Warriors had a 3-1 lead. The Indians had a 3-1 lead. I think it was in the fourth inning. The score of the game was 3-1. Like, this was getting a little bit scary. And
a little bit too many coincidences for you?
A little bit. And then, Katie, to see the way the game actually played out, where the Indians came back, they tied it up, and every single person in Chicago knew they were going to lose. Of course they were going to lose. This was it.
Did you see the looks on those people's faces when John Lester gave up two? Just after that
yeah.
home run, I actually felt bad, because there's a big part of me, again, like, no real vested interest, and it's great for the Cubs, but there is a part of me that as soon as Joe Maddon pulled Kyle Hendricks, it was like, all right, you know, ESYC guy, because like, you're trying to be the smartest guy in the room.
Yeah.
And I think you might have outdone yourself. So there was part of me that wanted to see him eat it a little bit. And when Lester gave up those runs, I was like, yay! And then they showed the Cubs fans and I was like, oh.
Yeah. Oh. Katie, what was it? Was it about 1 a.m. when the game ended, your time?
Oh.
I want to know if you were awake.
I was awake. I watched it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
It's funny because it made me feel bad for sports fans on the East Coast.
Cleveland fans are in the Eastern time zone. That's rough.
Yeah, they are, especially in Indiana, too.
I don't think they cared.
You don't think that? I don't think they cared, Nate, until the final out.
Until they lost.
I'm just imagining if old Carmichael Dave was Cleveland Dave, And I was in that situation, and that was, you know, my Kings, and they lost that way at home. I mean, really think about that. That, I hate to say it, but it's so very true. That's about 30 times worse than the Kings lost to the Lakers. It really is, if not 300 times worse. So you take whatever pain you had there and multiply it times 300. You're at home. You're in game 7. You're playing a team that hasn't won since 1908. Of course you're going to win. You have a 3-1 lead, and you blew 3 straight games, and it went to extra innings, and there was a rain delay in game 7.
Yeah.
So today for Indians fans, it's so – I do honestly feel so terrible. I mean, they have an NBA Finals championship, so I don't feel that bad. They're fine. But you got the Browns now to pay attention to. That's your deal. So we'll obviously talk about this quite a bit. Congratulations to many amongst those. Sacramento's own Chris Baggio, former Brewer, pitching coach for the Cubbies, who had an opportunity to. He's got a nice big fat ring. It was very nice for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
I was always kind of curious. Huh? I mean, well, no, never mind.
Okay, then. It was very nice of the Cleveland Cavaliers to put the rubies in the bottom of their ring to signify the games that the Indians won and lost in their World Series and how they knew that. There was a guy on Twitter 2 years ago. This is the most amazing tweet I've ever seen on Twitter. Guy 2 years ago said, mark my words, 2016 World Series, Cubs over Indians, 7 games, will go to extra innings, and there will be a rain delay. And he made the tweet.
Well, but it also said that it will be a perpetual rain delay, and the world will end like in a
Armageddon.
Rain delay.
Yeah, he threw in the Armageddon thing. I'm going to give the guy a pass on the last part. Uh-huh. Dear Lord, what are the lottery
being numbers? Overly dramatic part?
Well, I mean, not to use the same line twice, but when they pulled the tarp out, like, we all thought it was going to start raining frogs,
pretty
right?
Pretty much.
I think that was going to be the end. This is the only way it ends in a
boo.
This game's going to go forever.
A game like today, and we'll talk about this, the bulk of sports radio everywhere today is going to be this game. Obviously, we'll visit and talk a little bit about Orlando hosting the Kings tonight. Katie is in the land of Mickey Mouse. Katie, what time did you get in there?
I think we got to the hotel yesterday around 3:30.
Yeah, nice weather, I assume. Yeah. Very Orlando-y.
Yeah, it's nice. It's very windy in Florida.
Really?
I'm very windblown.
Did DeMarcus get called for any fouls on the way from the bus?
You're so funny.
Yeah. So there's
nobody did almost get blown over on the jetway, and he was complaining to nobody.
He was complaining to God. Hey, hey, the wind. So we'll talk about that.
And, you just can't help yourself, can you?
Well, come on. That one was a pretty easy setup.
Yeah. Which one were you talking to, by the way? You could have been talking to me or Nate on that one.
Well,
I actually felt like
Nate,
that was low-hanging fruit, so I guess maybe I can't help myself.
No, yes. You got to pick the fruit. So we got that, and we'll check in. We'll try to check in with a number of people. We have Charles Davis on to talk a little football over this week, and I'm sure everything is really going to tie back to the Cubs beating the Indians. Because let's be honest, no matter what we talk about today, it's all going to tie back to the Cubs and the Indians, because this transcends. You may not be the biggest baseball fan in the world, but this transcends baseball. It transcends sports. This is the running joke. Like, oh, yeah, when the Cubs win the World Series, this, and this will happen. Cubs won the World Series. The Red Sox won the World Series a few years ago. The curses are few and far between and ever so gently, and everyone saw the graphic yesterday and shared it with everyone. The Kings are moving up that list.
Hey, at least they're going to be number one in something soon. Maybe.
Oh, Nate.
You got the Cardinals of football, obviously, up there, and the Indians.
Okay, wasn't it the Cardinals were 47, the Indians were 48, the Kings are 51.
Uh-huh.
And then
the Lions
were 54
that.
Or something like that. Right?
What's really 57. Upsetting about that list is that when you look at, now that the Cubs are off the list, you look at the only teams ahead of the Kings. Are the Indians and the Cards. Well, the Indians just were a couple innings away from winning a championship about 5 minutes ago. The Arizona Cardinals are a really good team that is probably right in the middle of a playoff run right now. And then there's
the
Kings.
They're not going to win it this year.
No, I don't think they're going to win it
either.
There's
also the Lions.
Yeah, but they're below. But they're below us.
And again, you're looking at an opportunity for the Kings to get to the top of the list. So, I mean, if both of those teams are good.
Yeah, they're just both closer, you think, to a title than the Kings are by a lot. By a lot.
Yeah, the Indians were really close to a title last night.
Yep, literally mentioned that 30 seconds ago. So you've got the Indians. You've got the Cardinals. I did. I just did like 5 minutes
on
that. I
know, but I'm just saying.
And then you've got.
Doesn't matter.
Then the Lions suck. I mean, you know, whatever. But at least the Pistons had a title not that long ago. The Tigers have been in the World Series. So I was thinking last night, guys, the curse of the Billy Goat is over. I'm pretty sure there was a curse or something with the Red Sox. I forget what it was, like the curse of really bad accents. And it's, so, like, what would the Kings curse be? Like, there's got to be something. It can't be the curse of Ori, because that that happened in 2000.
Has to be something that can be purged soon.
Yeah, and earlier, like I've always thought Arco was built on an Indian burial ground. That was the
burial. Hey, Carrie, do you believe in this nonsense, or is Dave, you know,
got a teammate here?
No, she doesn't. She doesn't. No, she wrote a whole blog on the whole curses are stupid thing.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, and Nate,
thanks for reading it. I appreciate it.
I did.
You can find more at khdk.com.
I mean, all I'm saying is that it couldn't have possibly been a century of incompetence from the Cubs.
No, that is such a millennial view. I was dealing with that last night. Some guy was like, Theo Epstein's not the greatest GM of all time. I don't understand what the difference is, whether they won it 108 years ago or 10 years ago. It didn't make it any easier or harder. Curse is fake. Like, really, curses are fake. Okay. You want, and I want to take guys like that. I want to say, you want me to prove that superstitions and curses are fake? Why don't you tweet that you guarantee your mom will never die in a car crash? Just tweet it.
I think the burden of proof is on you,
that's what I'm saying. So I want to say to the guy, just tweet that out. Tweet out that you guarantee your mom will never die in a car crash. What's the difference? It's just words on Twitter. What are you, tempting fate? Why don't you do that?
Well, that's kind of a crass thing to put out on social
media. Of course it is. But
It's not about tempting fate.
Point being, all right, we'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll yell about curses and car crashes and all those other things. Cubs win. The Cubs win. That's the Yankees line. Morning Brew is next on the Drive Sports 1140 KHTK. People are still right now on Sheffield Avenue writing the names of loved ones who have passed away that were huge, huge Cubs fans. I thought it was a brilliant move by Budweiser yesterday to run the Harry Caray Classic commercial. I think it was the second commercial to run after Fox's first break. There's so much history wrapped up. It's a big story when the World Series is over and any team wins it. But for the Chicago Cubs to win the World Series, and we use this term all day long, or at least I will, Katie, it absolutely transcends sports. This is one of the biggest sporting moments of our lifetimes.
Yeah, and I mean, this may be the best World Series to date. And the fact that the Cubs were in there and the drought is over and the people that were invested in this, I mean, this brought people kind of to baseball that really were indifferent. You know, they wanted to know what was going to happen. They wanted to kind of support the Cubs. And then the Indians, it's kind of a similar situation.
Nate?
It was quite watchable. Extremely watchable.
It was quite watchable.
It really was.
I mean, it had the best narrative of any World Series in recent memory, but, you know, I just hesitate to jump to best this, best that. It was sure as hell as good a Game 7 as you could ask for.
Is there a better narrative in World Series history, though? I'm not sure.
I mean, yeah, from a team perspective, yes. But, I mean, when just a couple years ago you've got Madison Bumgarner being superhuman out of the pen.
Great story.
You know, the Red Sox coming back from a 3-0 deficit against the Yankees.
Yep.
I mean, you know, they're always there. But this is – all I can say is that this – is as good as it gets. It doesn't get better.
It doesn't get better than this, as I fired the button too early. Sorry.
Maybe one of, if not the best part about the Cubs winning, you guys, is that LeBron, who's, you know, putting it the 3-1 joke on his Halloween pumpkins, Cleveland blows a 3-1 lead.
Oh, please.
It's just poetic.
I mean, in a way, yes. I mean, what's a bummer is that it just kind of spoils the fun of making fun of Warriors fans because, I mean, this is really not that much like it. The Cubs were the favorite. They were favored in every game. And the Indians didn't win 130 games
like
this
it?
Season. It's not really because, you know, the Warriors were an all-time great. They set the regular season record for wins. If Cleveland had won 130 games this year and had been the favorite, then it'd be a little more like it. All this really does is, you know, give Warriors fans. Like now, you saw what Draymond Green did last night.
3-1 sucks.
Right, which kind of like now just makes me want to double down and be like, yeah, but Draymond, you guys did it first and you won 73 games.
I think it's great because loser fans like us can point now to two franchises and go, we never blew a 3-1 lead. We only blew a 3-2 lead. Here's LeBron James. Blah, blah, blah. Sorry, I can't do it. Anyone else arguing with me there? Yeah, congratulations. You're great. And who cares? Whatever, LeBron, you got a ring.
Do you blame LeBron for the whole Halloween party joke?
I mean, again, now we're getting into curses, right? Aren't
we? Exactly.
We're getting into curses. Of course I
you
do.
Believe it.
Of course. If I was a Cleveland fan, I'd be pissed at LeBron and I would be conflicted because on one hand, hey, LeBron, thanks for bringing us a championship. So I'd still love him. But on the other hand, it's very much like, to me, although he wasn't as direct, but it's like former morning shows on this station holding a funeral for the Lakers when the Kings were up 3-2 in that series in 2002. I will never – those that is the Steve Bartman move of Sacramento for me. I can't handle it. That's fine.
The Kings looking for their first win on the road trip tonight. They're in Orlando. Game tips off at 4 o'clock. Pre-game starts at 3:30.
Kings,
game night at 3 o'clock.
It just seems we were talking about the Kings. And you know, I get it. Kings, Orlando, and you know, game six and all that with everything going on today. Actually, it's going to be a nice palate cleanser because I predict if you're not there already, and you shouldn't be, by late this afternoon when that Kings game comes on, I think everybody's going to be ready for new sports.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, okay, the Cubs won,
get
Katie.
It, we get it.
Right. Curse is over. Billy Goat. Who cares? That's what we'll be.
Well, I'm going to be ready. I don't have a choice.
Is your microphone behind your neck? What's going on there?
No.
There we go.
Is that better?
Yeah, you kind of sound like you were in the toilet. And I'm, by the way, I'm FaceTiming with Katie. I assure you, I'll defend her. She is, as a matter of fact, in the toilet right now. Yeah, exactly. Now
well,
she's
you know
in the
how we're trying to figure out this mic.
Yes.
Right now I'm having a lot of problems with it because I'm hearing myself twice.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Well, twice is better than once.
I don't know about that.
Well, not for
there
you.
There we go. Oh, thank you. What did you do? It stopped.
I think I don't know, but to quote the great Grant Napier, it was something with the mix minus.
The mix minus.
Yeah. All right. So we got Kings Magic we'll get into next. We'll visit there. Right back to Cubs and Theo Epstein. We have questions about that. And then we have football for you, too. Four down territory normally, as always, 717. Charles Davis is going to join us at 8:05. I think Greg Vaughn's going to come on with us today as well to talk a little baseball. And, yeah, we have an Apple TV giveaway as well, qualifying you for the 65-inch home theater company 4K TV that you could watch Cubs championships on, courtesy of the home theater company. UFC Fight Night tickets, guys. We've really taken care of everything for you. Just sit back, keep your transistor radio on or whatever you do. Enjoy the sweet sounds of the drive on Sports 1140 KHTK. Chicago Cubs won the World Series, in case you were wondering what that was
did
all
it in
about.
Spanish, too.
8-7, your final in 10. You had a game 7 go extra innings. You had a rain delay. You had everything you could possibly want. And it all really started off fine for the Cubs when Dexter Fowler went yard in the first. The young and very emotionally active Javi Baez, who really turned on a lot of people in these playoffs to his talent from his ability to tag people ridiculously. I never thought I'd look at a tag as something that was an athletic gift, and Javi Baez had that. But he did have a couple of errors yesterday, got bailed out on both, and then he did it with the bat. He's built a 6-3 lead. They went ahead 5-3, the Indians came back 5-3. They were up 5-1 when Santana and Kipnis scored on a wild pitch. This was after John Lester came in. Guys, I do believe history will not care, but if we're nitpicking here, you know, the Cubs won the World Series. I get it. So all bets are off. Nothing matters. I think Joe Maddon got his ass saved last night. I thought he handled these last two games about as bad as you could handle them from a pitching standpoint as a manager. I think Aroldis Chapman in game 6 going as long as he did, coming back in with a massive lead instead of sitting down, that burned him. And had Cleveland won last night, I think it would go down as one of the biggest managerial chokes in World Series history. Again, history won't care.
Right.
But, Nate, he as you said earlier, he was very determined to be the smartest guy in the room last night. He turned into the dumbest guy in the
room. Yeah, it almost backfired. And I think John Smoltz put it best on the broadcast when he simply said something.
He said, you don't ever want to make a move
thank
that the other team is happy
Christ,
about.
Man, do I need another cup of coffee? That was exactly what I was going to say. Is that Hendricks was just mowing through him.
Sure.
And, you know, what did Chapman throw all of a dozen pitches before he couldn't hit triple digits anymore?
Yeah.
I mean, if that even. He came out, I think he had 102, 103, and then it was like 101, 199. And you could kind of say, and I want to give Cleveland just tons of credit for battling back, because the Cubs just had better at bats almost all night long. I mean, you could just see that they had the superior hitters. Every swing that they took was locked in and they just missed. You know, it was unbelievable. I'm surprised that it wasn't, you know, a wider
sure.
margin,
sure.
I guess.
Could have been.
There's been a reason that, you know, Chapman has been someone that they've used just to come in and close. And he hasn't gone many innings. And then he goes, it's unprecedented what they do with him in the World Series. He did not look good last night. He comes in, I think it was like 10 pitches later after he comes in. This is supposed to be the guy that closes things out for you. 10 pitches later, it's a tie game.
Yeah.
That's not good. And it's how he was managed throughout the series, and it almost bit them.
Yeah,
they almost bit them.
They thought he was Madison Chapman, and he wasn't.
Yeah,
but that's
no.
how they tried to use him.
But the Cubs were ultimately just the better, deeper team,
yeah.
right? I mean, isn't that what it came down
yes.
to? Again, the Cleveland is counting on Rajay Davis twice to come up with huge hits. You know, that's just, you get down to the end, I forget what the name of that catcher even was, but there was nobody left on Cleveland's bench. They just, they were floundering. The fact that they made it a one-run game and took it to seven was pretty remarkable.
And you have to actually, like, Cleveland had some pretty significant injuries. They had, you know, a couple of their starting pitchers out. They had Michael Bradley out with an injury, who's, you know, their best outfielder. But Kluber and Miller were not good last night either.
Mm-mm.
I mean, the two of them total gave up 6 runs. That's more than they've given up in the entire postseason. I mean,
yeah.
there is things going on with Cleveland. It's crazy, because you want to talk about the Cubs and how great all of this is. We're not really talking about how horrible the Indians looked. If it wasn't for Davis, they would have been in just a horrible situation yesterday. Got blown out.
So many storylines to go into this with Joe Maddon managing himself out of a World Series title, or at least trying to, and bringing in John Lester. Of course, he had to bring in John Lester's personal valet, David Ross. David Ross playing in his final game of his career with his graying goatee, and he stepped to the plate in the sixth inning. So there, as you mentioned, Andrew Miller getting a little bit. I mean, Andrew Miller didn't pitch horribly there, but you could tell there's just a little something off with both Kluber and Andrew Miller. And then we go to the eighth inning, and the eighth inning was all Indians. And this is where there was not a pair of underwear in Chicago that was not two-tone after this inning, as they were all completely seeing the curse of the goat, the ghost of the goat, all the things that they feared when Brandon Guyer came to the plate. That's fine, though. They still have a two-run lead, and then Rajay Davis steps to the plate, and Rajay Davis does the unthinkable. Obviously, that was the Chicago Cubs call. Let's see if we can't mix that up with a different call. That is an absolutely perfect call. That is a perfect call by a homery voice. I love it. The celebration happens, and all of a sudden, you got a 6-6 tie, guys.
All in all, I was a little disappointed with the performance
really?
Of the Cubs radio guy.
Oh, no, well, the latter one was the Indians.
No, I know. I mean, like, we've heard several calls from the Cubs guy, including the clincher. And, man,
well,
have
Nate,
a cup of
it
coffee.
Sounds, it sounds like he was calling the last time they won a World Series game.
Well, what if the Cubs guy who called the game was Russian? Svidaniya curse, Katie.
Yeah.
It's all over.
Took the words
man.
Right out of my mouth.
Yeah.
They had a little vodka in their booth.
Oh,
yeah.
Nothing.
They were feeling it right there.
Nothing wrong with that. Harry Carey popping a Budweiser from the sky, looking down. It's a beautiful day in Chicago. A lot of people, if you go on Twitter, are periscoping right outside of Wrigley Field right now. And not a lot of work's going to get done in old Chicago today. And a lot of
I wonder how our good friend Jim Cosmore is doing today.
I sent him a text last night, and it reads something like, "Congratulations, buddy, you deserve it. Would love to check in with you today, but I totally understand if you can't see straight." I absolutely do. So we'll see if we can't effort Coz later today. Let's get into the Kings and Magic a little bit next. We'll go back to the Cubs at 7 a.m. and ask, is Theo Epstein the greatest general manager in history? I still want to figure out what this Kings curse is. And yes, I've seen your clever text with DeMarcus Cousins as your answer. I understand that, but I think there's more.
It started well before him.
Yeah, it really did. We'll take a break. Come back. Kings Magic tonight, Sports 1140 KHDK. Kings Magic this evening. I don't know why, guys. Weirdly, I'm kind of following the Suns. I just look at their scores every night.
Because you can't take your eyes away from bright things.
Yes, exactly. I'm like a moth. Somebody told me a moth recently I thought was rather funny.
It was me. I told you the joke,
yes,
Dave.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was, Nate. You did. Via Norm MacDonald. 118-115, the Suns beat the Trailblazers. That's their first win. But they were close in other games. I follow them only because the Kings beat them in game one, so that's like one of the gauges I have.
It's semi-pride, right? Like, after you declared that the Suns have a brighter future than the Kings?
The Suns are further along on the rebuilding scale than the Kings are. I said they have a better young core than the Kings do. Mm-hmm. And I still believe that. I absolutely believe that. I believe that's true 100%. I think they have a younger core, or a better core. Bottom line.
Younger is probably accurate.
A better younger core is, I think, the proper terminology I was using.
And you know what, Dave? I hate to agree with you on things. I really do. I fight against it. But you're probably right in that. In that statement, you're probably right.
How dare you, Katie?
Just want to let that hang.
You just want to let that resonate for a moment?
Hang for a second. All right, guys, do we panic is a silly word, unless you're talking about a player for the Giants. But do we... is a little droplet of sweat come down if the Kings lose tonight's game? We've said so far this year that of all the games the Kings have lost, all three, they didn't lose to a team where you went in going, they got to beat these guys. They should beat these guys. I expect them to win. Don't we kind of expect them to win tonight? No?
I would say yes. Okay. Seeing what Katie had to say there. Yeah, I mean, I think so. But I was just trying to think about how, you know, quickly my opinion changes. Like, after the Hawks loss, it was just like, oh, darn, guys, you'll get them on the next one. And then against the Heat, it was just like, Jesus, this team's never going to change. and if they lose tonight, it's going to be like, I told you so. And then after that, it just turns into, oh, God, whatever, here we go again.
Shouldn't they win tonight, Katie?
They should. They're a better team than Orlando. Now, granted, I think Orlando, you know, I'm curious to
see. They have good, talented young players, too.
They really do, and they signed some good people in the offseason. I think Serge Ibaka is one of them. He's one of my, you know, favorite. It's a stretch maybe to say favorite, but he's an NBA player that I really enjoy watching. I enjoy his game, and I enjoy looking at him, too, a little. That might have something to do with it. No, but all joking aside, they do. They have some good young people. I was surprised. Like, they got Victor Oladipo is one of those people that I was really high on, but that he was part of that trade. Mm-hmm. So you know, moves him to Oklahoma City. But when you look at this team, I don't think they're as talented yet. And I, with a new coach and the new pieces they added, this is one that they should win, in my opinion.
The matchup that I'm looking forward to watch is Vucevic and Cousins, because Vucevic is one of those guys that he's going to stay on the glass, and he's going to give DeMarcus a tough effort for the entirety of the time that he's on the floor.
Well, imagine them doubling with Ibaka and Vucevic if they do that. And Ibaka is going to play. I wonder if the matchup's going to be Vucevic and Cousins or Ibaka and Cousins.
It might be. And I meant that more from because you might be right.
Because they'll stretch
him
out. Ibaka can hit the three as well. Mm-hmm. Ibaka is one of the few bigs in the league that can stretch DeMarcus as well as what?
No, I mean, no, sorry, that was kind of like a sigh out loud, because I'm sitting here and I'm in my head, I'm thinking about all the different combinations and things that could happen, and that was not anything to do with what you were saying.
Okay, all right.
I'm sorry, Dave.
Well, Orlando, another team I would say has a much better young core than the Kings when we're looking at teams. This is a roster I would probably trade straight across for if I had to, and their one win was by 2 points in Philadelphia. They're coming off that win. Is that right? I believe that was their last. Yeah, it was. They're 1-3. Of course, it was their last win. Elfrid Payton is starting to develop. Elfrid Payton is starting to develop, and we all remember Elfrid Payton fondly because he's
the guy that somebody wanted.
Yeah, that's the guy that I like to refer to him as not Nick Stauskas. And so you've got him there.
Evan, they wanted him. They were just
Fournier is a fantastic player as well.
Very underrated.
Google his last name.
Fournier?
Yeah, just do it.
No. No, okay. Not doing it.
I won't do
it. When you tell me to do something on the internet, I do the opposite because it's weird and gross. Aaron Gordon Aaron Gordon is very Zach LaVine-y in the sense where it's almost the same thing on both of them. If their talents, if their fundamentals can never catch up with their talent, they're going to be amazing players. And you just don't know who is the guy for the Sun. Gerald Green. Thank you. They're both more talented than Green, but that's who they remind me of. And I'll stick specifically to Aaron Gordon. Just guys that could jump out of the gym, do amazing things, but never put it all together. And you wonder if Gordon's going to do that ever.
This should be pretty interesting tonight. Cause going back to, you know, Nate's, are you okay, Dave?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah? I got something in my throat during the break.
I know. But going back to Nate's matchup that he's interested in with Vucevic, not only is Vucevic a really, really good player, but because he's on Orlando's team and we only see them twice a year, Kings fans don't understand how good this guy is. But the crazy thing is, how is Coach Yeager going to start tonight? He started Matt Barnes in that last game. He started small. I don't think that he wants to do that tonight. I wouldn't if I were in his shoes. I would start back with Coach Kukoc, and that would be the matchup. And then I would make, you know, Serge Ibaka have to defend DeMarcus Cousins. Like, I would force their hand at going big to start.
I'm going to change my mind. I don't think the Kings are going to win tonight. I just keep
It's
a tough matchup, isn't it?
I just keep looking at the roster, and they're starting Peyton, Fournier, Gordon, Ibaka, and Vucevic. Okay, that's fine. But then they're coming back with C.J. Watson, Jody Meeks, Mario Hezonja, Jeff Green, and Bismack Biyombo. That's a really deep
Jeff Green. Oh, I didn't hear you say
that. Yeah, that's a deep, deep top 10. I don't know. I guess I don't. Maybe it's a self-defense mechanism, but I don't.
Seems scary.
Yeah. Like, this just seems like the type of team that would give the Kings fits. Athletic, deep, fast,
big,
jumpy.
This can go either way. Obviously, that's a very broad statement to make. It really puts you on the fence.
Yeah,
right?
Well, I know.
Yeah. But I think it can go either way because, yeah, I think both teams have talent, and I think both teams will obviously improve as the season goes on. But to each have a first-year head coach that is brand new with this each roster, it takes some time to figure some things out. I think Orlando is probably better than their record indicates right now. That's why the Kings should definitely not overlook them at all going into this game. But I think that the Kings have the edge here, you guys. I really do. But I think they need to go back to kind of some things they were doing in the first few games.
No, according to Vegas, Orlando favored by one, Nate.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Do you know what Evan Fournier's nickname is?
No.
Oh,
his
no.
nickname is Never Google.
Yeah, I would imagine
Swear
so.
To God.
Not doing it.
Okay.
And you know what sucks is, like, some kid is Googling
serious,
it right now.
I'm serious. That's his nickname.
We'll take a break. Hey, when we get back, let's get back to the old Cubs win. It's great argument. Is Theo Epstein the greatest GM in sports history? I kind of want to follow along with this text of the day or this question of the day. What is a King's curse? Like, is there something? And it's got to go back deeper than a lot of you are going. I'm hearing a lot of modern stuff.
Bad management for decade after decade after decade.
True.
I mean, because that's as bad a curse. It's like going to a haunted house and having to wait in line for 4 hours.
Nate.
Yeah.
What if it's Dave?
It could be. I've been a fan since day one. And that's very true. A lot of people, like more than one person is texting and that is Grant. There's something there, and I think I might have an idea as to what it is and also why I'm wrong with what it is as well. We'll talk about that when we get back as we go back to the Chicago Cubs. Katie is in Orlando. Nate and myself here. Matt George behind the glass. It is Sports 1140 KHDK.